Let's start. We're starting the Shir HaMalos over here. We'll see how many we can get done. But Kuf Chaf. So the following 15, from Kuf Chaf until Kuf Lamed Dalet, are called the Shir HaMalos, the Song of Ascents. All of them, except for Kuf Chaf Aleph, are called Shir HaMalos, the Song of the Ascent. Kuf Chaf Aleph is Shir LaMalos. I'm not so sure why. I don't know why that one specifically is, and I don't have an answer for that right now. But that's that. Now, what did this stand for? Well, it stood for the 15 steps that the Levim used to stand on when they would go up toward the Azor, where they would sing. There were 15 steps that they would stand, and they would go from over there. Some say that the 15 refers to the different the psalms that were recited when the abyss, the Tehomos, opened up, and David HaMelech wanted them to lower themselves. That there was a whole story that David HaMelech, he was building the Shisin, the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, and as he was getting down to the bottom, he had taken a certain rock up. The rock said, "Don't pick me up, because if you pick me up, I'll destroy the world." And of course he did, right? Picked up the rock, thought he was lying, right? Picked it up, and the Tehomos were coming to destroy the world. He said, anybody who knows, if you can write a name of Hashem on a certain rock and have it erased in the water so that the water calms itself, tell me now. Achitophel made a kal v'chomer, right? And he told him eventually that we should go through there, etc., and stuff like that. So whatever it went down, they sang the Shir HaMalos, and it went down 15,000 amos, and it halted all the way down there.
Which,
so
these guys on rocks, you know?
Which
Moshe,
mean,
David,
everybody's a rock. Yeah. Yeah, rocks enter the Yitzhahara. They're controlling the Yitzhahara. That's what it's always referring to over here. Either way, some Shir HaMaloses are recited a little bit louder than the previous one. They go one after the other. Okay, obviously, there's a bunch of 15s everywhere. Yishtabach has 15 praises of Hashem. Shiru, Shavach, Vod, you know, etc. All the way through, 15 things. There are 15 praises of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aside from Emes, right? Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and it's a V'yatzi V'nachom V'kayom V'ashor, etc. There are 15 that come after Emes. Over there, there are 15 years of the Avos that overlapped with one another, where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all born at the same time. There are 15 words in the Birchas Kohanim that we go through. So obviously there's connections to everything. But let's start. Shir HaMaloz al Hashem. We sing the song of ascents to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Zorosalim, when there's pain for me, Korosu V'aneini, I called out loud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And he answered me, right? I didn't daven. That's not what it says. Korasi, I just called out loud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately helped them. That's a very, very important thing to say. Hashem, atzila nafshi. Hashem, save my soul, misfa sheker, from the lips that are lying me, lashon remiah, from a tongue that is deceitful. Right? The two types of hidden enemies. The lying lips are people that could be, they say words that could be understood in two different ways, but they intend for it to be evil. A deceitful tongue is people that say good things to people's faces, but they think evil inside their hearts. Right? That's the idea. Some people say there's a reference to the fourth debates, if anybody remembers what happened with the Ramban, when the Christians would debate the Jews theologically, right? This is what it references. Ma'itin lecha. What can it give to you? Ma Yosef lach. What could it profit you? What could it add to you? Lashon Ramiya. A tongue that is deceitful. Why do you want this person in the world? What's the point? What's the purpose of having this guy here? This guy who's a liar and keeps causing other things to happen, is that good for you? That's something that you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the point of having him? Chitze gibor shenunim. The arrows of the strong man are sharpened in gachle resumim, together with the coals of the wood, of the broom wood that you have over here. Now that obviously is a reference again to Lashon Hara. Somebody speaks out all this evil talk, these sharpened arrows, the burning coals that they cause others to have by shooting that, so to speak, at other people. That's just, it's so terrible. Here's a shot. A sword, even if you swing it, you could still take it back. You could still hold it back. Once you shoot the arrow, it's gone. It's there. There's nothing you can do about it. When words leave a person's mouth, it's too late. It's too late to be able to do anything. So it's gone. So the concept is that what can you do anymore? It's look at the gibor, the chitze gibor shenunim. They're sharpening dachlo or something. There's nowhere to be able to get around over there. I'm not so sure what this broom wood refers to over here. It's a really weird measure, so I'm not gonna say it out. So that's the idea. And Lashon Hara travels in that way. Oyeli kigarti mashach. Woe to me, because I live long. Mashach is in a length of time. Shachanti mala kedor. I've dwelled among the tents of Kedor. Now, this could be a reference to David Melech. It could be referring to other people as well. But David Melech was a person who, unfortunately, because running away from Shaul Melech, had to hang out around the Plishtim, around the Moavim, around people that were deceitful and liars and cruel. Right? That's the idea behind it. They were the ones who I saw kept using their mouths to speak out this evil talk and Lashon Hara, etc. I see how bad this can be. Some is a reference to Doego Adomi. Doego Adomi spoke Lashon Hara about David Melech quite a bit. He's the one that told on Nov Irukwanim and destroyed the entire city of Nov Irukwanim. He said, I can't believe what's happening over here. Some say, by the way, that Meshech are the people of Turkey. That's who they're referring to. Rabbas shachlana nafshi. Too long has my soul dwelled im sone shalom with those who hate peace, with the people who despise peace, and they'll say anything in order to get their way in. Ani shalom. I'd rather be with peace. But when I speak, they're ready to go to war. Maybe referring to Doeg and Achitofel again, that every time that I try doing something, they lie to me. They say something else. But I'm willing to make peace with anybody who wants to do so. And that's the concept we got over here. So that's that. Huh, I forgot about this. What is this? What is this referred to over here? 16. Song, I don't think we have to worry about Borkinashi. Yeah, okay, we won't worry about that. I think that's a continuation of what we were talking about by the 15 before. Okay, now, Kuf Chaf Aleph, the one that's famous. We all know this one. Shir L'malos, Esoyinai L'arim, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, Me'ayin Yavo Azri, where will my help come? So one could say that this is sort of like tongue-in-cheek. Like, if I lift my eyes to the mountain, will my help come from there? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the mountains, it's only the mountain people, the people that might be coming, descending the mountain to be able to help me. Are they really going to come from there? Right? In the movies, of course, they come at the last second and they're able to save you, right? But am I really going to get anything when it comes to this? This is what we're saying, that you're really trying to get yourself out there and trying to say, what could I possibly hope for from these different areas over there? Now, even though everything was Shir HaMalos, I told you before, I'm not so sure how that works, that this is Shir LaMalos. He says over here, there were 30 Malos. Lamed is for the 30 Milos. The 30 Milos that you have, one higher than the other, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to the great and the tzaddikim in the future. I don't know what that refers to, and I don't know why the other ones are haze. Why that refers to over here, I'm not so sure I can understand it completely. Anyway, that's that. Ezri Meim Hashem, rather my help come to Hashem, Osei Shemayim Aretz, who made the heavens and the earth. That's the person, not through intermediaries, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly will be able to help me. Al Yitin L'Vot Aglecha, he doesn't allow your foot to falter. Al Yonum Shomrecha, your guardian, Shomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not slumber. He will not have a problem sitting around there. Some say your guardian refers to the night watchman. Who knows what it's referring to over here, but that's the concept, okay? Hinei Lo Yonuv Elishon Shom Yisrael, the guardian of Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's able to take care of it. Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem is your guardian. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shade, Al Yad Yiminecha, on your right hand side, that He supports you. He takes care of you. He's your hand on one side to be able to help you with whatever you need. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa found a stone that he wanted to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Problem was, it was too heavy. So Malachim came, he didn't know the word Malachim, and said, we'll carry it for you, but we need you to put your hand on it. Hanina ben Dosa had to put his finger on it as they carried it to Yerushalayim. Of course, it's Kfit Sadarach, because why not? Right? He found himself right in Yerushalayim, right there. That's where Hanina ben Dosa. He had to at least put something on it, Al Yad Yiminecha. As long as you have a little bit of help, then a Kadosh Baruch will be your shadow. A lot of lines are learned from over here. The Baal Shem Tov especially has crazy lines what it means, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your own shadow. What does that mean? What you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does as well. If you act with kindness, Hashem acts with kindness toward you. If you act with cruelty, Hashem acts cruelly toward you. It is a shadow of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works by you. That's how everything works in this world, says the Baal Shem Tov. It's a famous, famous piece of how a shadow works. And that's that. Not only that, but also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs only look at you to see your mitzvos and your averos. Everything is written on your forehead, right? Everything's right there where you can define everything that a person does, and that's Hashem Tzilcha. It's in Hashem knows what's going on by your own shadow and everything that you do. Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakekach Yakecha. The sun will never hurt you during the day, V'yoreach V'layla, nor the moon at night. You'll be protected from anything that could possibly happen over here. Hashem Yishmorcha Mikol Ra. Hashem shall protect you from all evil. Yishmor Es Nafshecha. He will guard your soul from any evil that might come out over here. He will take you away from anything bad that might happen. Hashem Yishmor Tzeizcha V'yachem Yatavet Olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guard your going and your coming from one place to the other, whether it's referring to safeguarding you on the roads to make sure you're in the right direction, if it's making sure that everything in the world's going to be taken care of, it could be that as well. Me'atav Yadolim, from now and forever, that's what's going to happen over here. So this Shir HaMalos, we notice. So Kuf Chaf is a reference to how bad Lashon Hara is. Kuf Chaf Aleph is a shmira that we need when going out into the world, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. That's Kuf Chaf Aleph. Now, Kuf Chaf Beis. Shir HaMalos LeDavid. Samachti Bomili Beis Hashem Nelech. Now this is David HaMelech saying a song because he said, I was happy when they told us, hey, when they told me, let's go to the house of Hashem. Now, what were they telling him that for? Well, obviously, David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. Nasan and Navi told him he couldn't do it. So they would make fun of David and go up to him and be like, hey, can we build the Beis HaMikdash? Oh, no, because you're still alive. And Dovin Mel said, I was happy. I was happy to hear that. I was happy that they were, instead of being angry at them or killing them, I was happy that this is what they wanted. They wanted the Beis HaMikdash. That means something that's great. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need the Beis HaMikdash in the days of Dovin Mel. He'd rather have the korbanos of Dovin, or I'm sorry, the tefillah and learning of Dovin HaMelech than the korbanos that Shlomo HaMelech was going to brought, even more than 1,000 over there. But that's the idea, Vanna. What can you compare this to? Okay, Manor kept a man in his service who was an expert at cooking delicious and healthful meals. As the great cook became very old, the king gave a message to an expert physician. It says, when the cook dies, I want you to come here. So the people of the city, they grew impatient. They wanted the cook to die so that the doctor would be able to arrive. The king said to them, I didn't pass a statute that the physician can't come until the cook dies. He said, I want the doctor to come when the cook dies. He could come before that also. I'm perfectly fine when it calls out that. As long as the cook lives and prepares my food, I'm certain of avoiding illness and I have no need of a physician. Just when this guy dies, I'm afraid I'm going to need a doctor. But if the doctor wants to come before it, I have no problem whatsoever. So the pshat is that Dovin HaMelech, it's not that the Beis HaMikdash couldn't be built during his lifetime. It's that it wouldn't be built in his lifetime. But if somebody got up and did it and just made it, it would have been fine. He could make it a little bit earlier. Just Shlomo Melech would have to make it instead of Dovin HaMelech. Why didn't that happen? I would assume that Shlomo Melech was still too young. But if, and I'm giving this as a big if, with a capital I, if.
Well, yeah.
If Dovin HaMelech would have lived longer and Shlomo Melech would not yet have become king, maybe Shlomo Melech would have still built the Beis HaMikdash even though he was second in command to Dovin HaMelech at the time. Dovin HaMelech would have been king, but Shlomo Melech would have built the Beis HaMikdash. Why couldn't that have been? The issue is that David couldn't build it. Fine, David won't build it. Shlomo will build it. But Shlomo wasn't ready yet. He had to become king first. He had to get a little bit older, and then he was ready
to
go.
Yeah, but didn't other events, so to speak, need to be shake out
taken
also?
Taken care of before that, like, that happens? Avshalom being taken care of and like everything else. Yeah, 100%. What they were saying is that David, if only you would die for the Beis HaMikdash
right,
to be built.
Of course.
It's not true. It's not David Melech's death that causes the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. That's not the issue. It's that when Shlomo Melech's ready, they'll build the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
David Melech could be alive for it. Could be alive for it. It's just, you know, obviously there were other things that were happening during his lifetime. And then Pasuk Beis, Omdos Hayor Gleid Bishorayach Yerushalayim. We want our feet to be standing in your gates, Yerushalayim. Said Dovin HaMelech, I want it to be this way. But I want it to be that we all have to stand. No one can sit because there's so many people that are standing over here, like the Women's March, Baruch Hashem, right? Everybody's standing together and everything's there. No one's able to sit down. That's the idea, right? Where we find something new, more beauty. There'd be such great things over here. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for all that. Yerushalayim Abinuya, Yerushalayim that is built together. Ki'ir it should be like a city that is joined together with Yerushalayim above. Chazal learned from over here, is Yerushalayim Lamata, Yerushalayim Lamala. There's a Beis HaMikdash down here, there's a Beis HaMikdash up above. If everything works out well and proper, the Beis HaMikdash down here corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash up above. And the city of Yerushalayim down here corresponds to Yerushalayim up above. That way there's an abundance of Shefa that keeps coming forth all down, a conduit, so to speak, connecting everything up above to everything down below. And that's why over here, Yerushalayim is written like this, and not Yerushalayim is the way that it's usually done. It's in plural form because there's two Yerushalayims, two different areas, the one down below and the one up above that are going to connect with one another. That's the idea of what it's referring to. It's Kishchubra D'Layachtov. Another reference, if it's not referring to the Beis HaMikdash up above, is referring to the name Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was made up of two cities, Hashem Yeroeh and Salem, Shalem. Put them together and you come up with Yerushalayim. Those two cities came up with what Yerushalayim was. That's the idea behind it. Or maybe the city was built at different times. Nonetheless, it was put together as one at the end of the day. Nowadays, I think it's very easy to see. I'm not even going into the Arab-Jewish part of Yerushalayim, that it's a double city. You have the old city and you have the new city. It's very obvious that Yerushalayim is two cities. It's two different cities. Anybody will tell you. People live in the old city, it's not like living in Yerushalayim. It's like a different world when you're living inside there. Totally different world. Shamalu Shvatim Shiftei Kod. That's where the Shvatim ascended, the Shvatim of Hashem. Eidus Li Yisrael. They gave testimony for Bnei Yisrael. Lahodos L'Shem Hashem. And thanking the good name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lord, in order that purpose to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. That's what they're able to hold on to. Ki Shama Yashvu Chisos L'Mishpat. There, you're going to have Chisos L'Mishpat. thrones for judgment. Kisel to Beis David. Not only that, but thrones for the Beis David as well. Now, we just said that all the Shvatim are going to get up there. Everyone's going to share the city equally. There's going to be no Shevet that takes the city of Yerushalayim specifically for themselves.
But it happens to be in the area of two Shvatim.
Yehuda and Binyamin. Yeah. But even that, there's a machlokis of the Gemara if it even belonged to a Shevet. Yerushalayim. Is Yerushalayim given over to every Shevet? They all had a part of it. The Beis HaMikdash was split between Binyamin and Yehuda in a certain way. But was the city of Yerushalayim able to belong to everybody? There's no special baths like you have in Tveria in Yerushalayim. There's no Dead Sea in Yerushalayim. There's not even a river.
They haven't found roots.
Okay, that's true. But the main reason why is because Yerushalayim was not meant to be a place where you go for a vacation. Yerushalayim was a place where you went for spirituality, not for a vacation. Right? So for there to be a KFC, it's better for KFC to be out of Yerushalayim rather than in Yerushalayim. Because for people to say, I'm going to Yerushalayim to go to KFC, it's the wrong thing to say. That's not why you're
That's
going
why
to Yerushalayim. That's why it should be in Mivasari. It should be out there. It doesn't belong in Yerushalayim. Keep all the restaurants out of there. Allow Yerushalayim to only be a city filled with Kedusha and Tahara. Keep everything else out. Just take the whole Rova. All right, whatever. Either way, regardless. But that's the idea. Let it be an area that can hold everyone in that way. Kishama Yashul Chisus Lamishba. This is where we say, this is where Sanhedrin is. This is where the Malchus should be. This is where in Yomos Mashiach it's supposed to be. This is where the seat of the American embassy should be. Right? You like it. Come on. So either way, regardless, that's the idea of what you should have over here. Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim. People should ask for the peace of Yerushalayim. Yishlayu Avayich. May they who love you, may they have a peaceful existence. The people that keep talking about Yerushalayim, you need shalom in order for that to be perfect. Yishalom Bechelech. That way there will be shalom throughout all of your walls. Shalva Ba'amino and tranquility, serenity among your palaces. That way there won't be any problems and any issues when it comes to stuff like that. Some say there's a reference, Bechelech is a reference to the Chel. That was the area outside the actual old city itself where they were able to go through. But again, it's the point to have a proper place for judgment, where peace could be made. Lamana chai v'rayai. I ask for the sake of my brothers, my friends, Adabar Nashon Lavach, I'm asking for peace within you. Laman Beis Hashem Elokeinu, Avak Shatov Loch. For the sake of the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, I want peace for you. So it's clear, David Melech is talking this Tehillim, is as for the sake of Yerushalayim, for Yerushalayim to be built up again, for it to be used in the proper way. There is another mushal that's given over here. It's a nice one. A man made a really tall building and then summoned a craftsman to install a permanent staircase inside. The craftsman looked at it and he said, how in the world am I going to make a staircase that's going to go all the way up to the top? This guy looked at him and said, I'm not asking you to start from the top. Start from the bottom and build yourself up. That's the way you got to go. If you want to do peace, you want to achieve peace over here, the first thing is you got to build it up with yourself. Achai v'rei'ai. See your people as brothers and friends. Everybody, even if there's different traits and whatever and things like that, build everybody up. Establish that universal peace between everybody, and then things will be better for all. That's the idea of Kuf Chav Beis. Now, Kuf Chav Gimel, Shir HaMalos. Eilecha nasasiyas einai. To you I lift up my eyes, Hayoshvi Bashamayim, who sits up in the heavens, who enthrones up in the heavens itself. Now clearly, he is enthroned in the heaven, but he has connection down here. You want to call it the Western Wall, you want to call it the Makom HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously has a place with us, it's like, but his official yeshiva is up in Shemayim.
It's S-I-N-I-L-R-E, he's looking up again.
This is higher. More than lifting up to the mountains, now you're actually lifting up to the Shemayim itself. The same way that Avadim look to the hand of their master, asking for, begging for whatever they can get, like a maidservant reaches up to the hand of her master, what do they call it, her maid master? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So do we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu until he gives us peace. Now, obviously, we are banim lamakom, not just avadim lamakom, but banim lamakom, children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that until we become banim, let us at least be avadim. We might not all ever be able to become banim, but at least give us the chance to be avadim. That's what we want over here. That's what we're asking over here. We're asking for that idea of fulfilling our wishes and what we need to do over here. Chaneinu Hashem Chaneinu. Give us grace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give us grace. Ki Rav Savanu Vuz. Because we have been satiated with tremendous amount of contempt. You want to call this in Gullus Adam Yishmael? I don't think this could apply at any time to the Jews. We've dealt with so much contempt and all the disgustingness, whatever it is. We have to lift our eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. Rabba Savalan Avshenu. There's so much that our souls have been able to say, that have been satiated with. Halag Hashananim. The scorn of those who are at peace. Habuz Legionim. allow that contempt to go back to those aggressors, to the people that are instead trying to destroy us. Allow that to go right back to them and try to destroy them over there. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of our scorn and give it back to the people who deserve it. Very short tefillah, only four psukim altogether. But we're asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it back and gives it back to him. Now Kuf Chav Dalet. Shir HaMalos LaDavid. Luli Hashem Shari Lanu Yomer Yisrael. If Bnei Yisrael could only say, right, if not for the Lord who was for us. We want Bnei Yisrael to say, oh, we wouldn't be able to do anything without God. That's what Bnei Yisrael should say. If only Bnei Yisrael would be able to get up and say to themselves, we know that God is the one in charge. He's the one that's allowing everything to happen well. And without that, who knows what's going to be over here. That's the pshat. Luli Hashem Shayalanu Bikum Aleinu Adam. If not for Hashem who was with us, when people got up against us, when the Adam got up against us, who's the Adam that got up against us? Well, could refer to Paro, could refer to Haman, could refer to Sancheriv, could refer to Nimrod, could refer to Nebuchadnezzar, whoever you want to call it. Whoever got up against us throughout the years and tried to destroy us, it's going to be out there. He mentions a guy by the name of, I don't even know this name, Rained Flesh in the Middle Ages? Who's that referring to? The Kalmanicki massacres? You think that we know the name Rained Flesh? I don't know. Then he says the terrible one, obviously Hitler, Yimach Shemo, he's referring to over here. Chazal in the Gemara say Hatzileni no miyad achim yad esav. Hatzileni miyad is the first letters are Haman, right? That's what it refers to over here. And this is another. The Gemara says that this is a reference in the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. It says Bekumelenu Adam, the Adam below Melech. It's a man that got up against us, not a king. It's not Achashverosh. It was Haman that got up against us. If not for God, we would be destroyed. Do you see the guy? Do you see this? He says libelous persecutions of Rind Flesh.
No,
I have never heard of the name before. You ever heard? You've never heard of any? I'm not so sure who he's referring to.
Neither do I.
Question is, and the line over here, it's not even libelous persecution, not referring to the destruction, you know, or anything else that he might have done. I mean, if we're dealing with the Middle Ages.
About the blood libels?
It could be, but blood libels was from Rhine. I mean, that was all over the place.
I think flesh is like a German word for meat. That's what comes up.
Yeah.
Pictures of meat.
That's weird. I don't know. Middle Ages. Why are you looking at pictures, though? That's that.
This right. Is the first thing I...
No, look at R-E-I-N. R-E-I-N.
Oh.
And do Middle Ages. Let's see if we can do that. Maybe it's Rindfleisch, Middle Ages? Maybe that? I don't know. That's so strange.
Libelous persecutions.
Yeah. Might as well do that. It's probably going to bring up this. But I've never heard of it. I also like how he says it over here.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
He spelled it wrong.
Yeah.
Google has it R-I-N.
R-I-N?
Yeah, but don't correct it. Maybe
that's okay. I'll put all the...
The Rindfleisch movement was a series of massacres against Jews in the year 1298. The event, in later terminology, a pogrom, was the first large-scale persecutions in Germany since the First Crusade. It was set in the Franconian region during the civil strife between the elected king of the Romans, Count Adolf of Nassau, and his Habsburg rival, Duke Albert of Austria, when imperial authority traditionally concerned with the protection of the Jews had temporarily collapsed. Already in 1287, the death of the Werner Oberwesel in the Rhineland had been blamed on Jews, and about 500 were killed in revenge, followed by a series of blood libels. When finally King Adolf was deposed and killed in the Battle of Whatever, on July 1298, the Franconian nobility gathered at Albert's election in Frankfurt. When at the same time the Jews in the town of Rottengen were accused of having obtained and desecrated and consecrated desecrated and consecrated host, one of Lord Rindfleisch, who the sources refer to as either an impoverished knight or more probably a butcher. They gathered a mob around him and burned the Jews on Sunday, April 20th.
But they destroyed, etc. By the way, I just realized that Fleisch
meat.
Was for meat, right?
Yeah, that's for sure why it came up.
Yeah. That's funny. All right, not bad.
That's why it says this guy might have been a butcher, not a
butcher. All right, he was a Fleisch of Rinders. All right, Azai, Chaim Bleunu. And then they would have swallowed us alive, Bacharos Apenbanu, when they got so angry with us. They wanted to annihilate us. It's like they're beasts out there in the field, like Makas Arov. Ooh. And that's the idea behind it, right? That idea behind it. Now, they would swallow us alive in a way if we would let them. The word Azai appears three times in this. Azai, Azai, Azai. Why? Azai is a gematria of 18 altogether. 18 times 18 times 18 is 54, a reference to the three Shemona Esrei that we say every single day. That's what a reference to. Also, Haman is mentioned in Megillas Esther 54 times, right, in order to destroy his shame. That's when the waters would have overwhelmed us. The river would have passed over us completely. Some say this is a reference to Mashiach ben Yosef being destroyed in the days of Gog and Magog. That's when the raging waters would have passed over our souls. In reference to that. Could be that it's referring to the three gullies that we have that were extreme. Egypt, Babel, and Edom, right? Obviously, Yavon was while we were in Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't as bad. Paros and Mother was a continuation of Babel, right? That's that. Baruch Hashem, Shalom, Zanu, Terev, Lishinayim. Baruch Hashem, that he didn't allow us to become prey for their teeth and their destruction. We had their hatred, but we did not have their hunger. They didn't want to totally devour us. They just wanted to kill some of us. They spat us out, so to speak. Right? That where they wanted to destroy us, they killed a little bit, but they didn't want to completely get rid of. Nafshenu kitzibur nimlata, our soul was like an escaped bird, mipach yoikshim, from the snare of the people who are trappers. Hapach nishbor, once the snare breaks, v'anachnu nimlatnu, that's when we were able to escape. Until that point, we were trapped. There was not much we were able to do over here. Lots of Kabbalah on this word pach. They say that the word paz, fine gold, is a reference to the amount of words that are in Baruch Shamar, 87 words. Pach is the tumah that overcomes Baruch Shamar, so to speak. Either way, regardless, we were able to escape. We were able to escape Babel. We were able to get out of their clutches. We were able to escape because of the merit of Daniel, of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, what happened in there, right? Somehow like that. It's sort of like, you know, a person tries to save a bird out of a snare. The bird turns to the guy, thankfully he can talk, right? And he says, don't just let me escape. Break the snare, because if the trap still remains, other birds will be caught by this. So apach nishpor v'anachlonatnu, that's when we'll be able to escape. When everything's over there, that's when it's going to be over here. Azreinu b'shem Hashem, Azreinu b'shem Hashem. Save us in the name of the Lord. Oseh shemayim v'aretz, the one who makes the heavens and the earth over here. So this one, right, we're saying, Baruch Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, that he's able to help us in all these ways. Right, that's the idea behind it. So once again, Kufchaf was sort of like a lead up of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us from Lashon Hara. Kufchaf Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need help. You are the only one who's going to help us. You're the one who's going to be doing everything for us. Kufchaf Beis, bring in Yerushalayim. Allow us to have Yerushalayim back. Kufchaf Gimel, what's Kufchaf Gimel about? We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of our scorn and all the things that are against us. Kufchaf Dalet, we're speaking out the praises. If only we realized how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually does and is able to save us and be able to take us. Now, you want to hear a weird thing? We all know that the story of Rishon Bar-Yochai from the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Abayz Lamed Dalet Al, the way he escaped the cave is when the king of Rome, whoever was chasing after him, died. So Eliyahu HaNavi came outside the cave and said, who's going to tell Rishon Bar-Yochai that he can leave? Who's going to tell Rishon Bar-Yochai that he's going to leave? It says, over here, this must be from Yerushalmi. The Rishon Bar-Yochai and his son came out of the cave where they had hidden from the Romans for many years. They saw a bird flying in the sky and a hunter shooting arrows at it. This is not in the Gemara. But the bird escaped. Rav Shimon said, if a bird on the wing is not handed over into the hand of a man of flesh and blood without the word of God, why do we fear and dwell in a cave? Shouldn't have to worry about anything. We won't be handed over to the hand of the king of Rome, right, if Hashem doesn't want us to be. So he called his son Elazar, and they decided to return to Tiberia, and they were perfectly fine. And that's what we learned from this pasuk.
Apach nishpor v'anachnu nimlatnu. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, because what does that mean? You obviously escaped for 12 years. All of a sudden, you're willing to get out. I don't know what that means. Like, somehow he figured out. And number two, that's not mentioned in the Gemara. Again, it could be in Yerushalmi. Maybe the Yerushalmi and Shabbos. I don't remember in Yerushalmi and Shabbos either. But maybe that's what it refers to over there, and it goes through. I've never seen that before. I've never heard of that before. All right, here we go. Kup chup hey. Shira malos habaitchim b'ashem kar tzion lo yimot. Those who trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like Har Tzion. It will never move. Your trust in God, Le'olam Yeshev, will always be able to abide. You'll be able to be there forever. Just as in the future, Har Tzion is going to be populated again with Jews, not with Arabs, but with Jews, which we have not yet seen. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your bitachon ami will be set. You won't have to worry about anything. Yerushalayim harim savivla. Yerushalayim will be surrounded by mountains. Vashem savivla mo. So too, the same way Yerushalayim, or just as we know Yerushalayim is surrounded by mountains, or as Yerushalayim is protected by mountains, so too we are surrounded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi'atei ayolam. So therefore we have nothing to worry about. Because the rod of wickedness will never fall or rest upon the lot of the tzaddikim. Leman lo yishlechu tzaddikim ba'av lo seideim. And therefore, the tzaddikim will not put forth their hands into any type of evil. Right? Because why? The tzaddikim won't hang out with the rishayim. They won't be influenced by those rishayim. And therefore, since there is no contact between them, you don't have to worry about them being affected. Again, when Yerushalayim has those mountains surrounding us, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us, we don't have to worry about that influence coming and taking care of us in that way. Compared to a man who bought stolen merchandise from thieves and would go to their locations in order to obtain the merchandise. On one occasion, he was set up by bandits and he lost all of his money. He said, I only have myself to blame. I brought myself to this place. I went to the west side in order to sell my wares. I was the fool. And because of that, that's why I lost all my money. That's the idea of what he ended up losing out from. That's the concept of that person. Now, heitiva Hashem latevim. Do good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to those that are good, v'li yisharim v'li bosim, and to those who are upright in their hearts. There might be sinners out there. Allow the people that are doing well to get what they need. V'amatim ha-kalkulosim, was for those who go the wrong way and do crooked things, yolichem Hashem espoli av, and allow them, Hashem, to go with those who do sins. Shalom ha-Yisrael. Instead, let there be peace among all of B'nai Yisrael so you don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. Again, I don't know how this is any different. I guess it's referring to the protection of Hashem as opposed to what Hashem does or praising Hashem for what He does. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect us, keep us away from those that we want to stay away from. Now, Shir HaMaalos in what Kuf Kuf Vav, we certainly all know this one. Shir HaMaalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shiva Sion Hayinu Kechomim. A song of ascents. When Hashem returned the returnees of Zion, when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, it was like we were dreaming. It felt like a long, long dream. Now, what does that mean? It means when you wake up from a dream, everything happened a second ago. Well, you know what? That happens whenever you go through here. Think of your life right now. I'm 37. The last 37 years of my life are all a blur. Right now is the only thing that actually is taking up time. Because after everything is done, everything beforehand is in theory a dream. If you would tell me right now that I just woke up 5 minutes ago and that I had a dream, I'd tell you, okay, it's a possibility. I can't prove to you that 5 minutes ago existed. I think it did. I remember it, but it might all be in my head. Maybe it's all a dream. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to wake up and no longer will you even feel the pain of the past. It's gone. Everything's gone. You're only thinking about the future. It's like you just woke up from a really bad dream and everything's done when it comes to that. It's going to seem so much simpler when it comes to this. That's the idea. Chazal, Chonia Ma'agil, doubted this pasuk. He said, how in the world could you dream for 70 years? Kadosh Baruch Hu made him dream for 70 years. He went to sleep somehow for 70 years of his life. Amazing thing. He was living during the times of the Hashmonaim. So the Greeks were going around there, and it was a crazy little thing. It's possible that he mamish saw it all as an absolute dream. It's a crazy little thing. But he said, this is what I feel like. Oz Yamalei Tzchok Pinu. At that point, we'll finally be able to fill our mouths with laughter, Lishoneinu Rina, and our tongues with mirth. Then the other nations will say, wow, God really did great things with these people. It's amazing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. You know what's amazing about this? Reish Lakish would never laugh out loud in this world. He would never open up his mouth in laughter. Why? Because only Oz Yamalei Tzchok Pinu. Only then can you open up your mouth in laughter. You can laugh, but if you get to the point where you're laughing so hard, you're crying, and you can't stop laughing, that's not for this world. That's for the next world. You have to save that for then. So that's the idea of Oz Yamalei Tzchok Pinu. That's what Reish Lakish held. Reish Lakish would never allow it. Some Rabbanim seem to take it a little bit seriously. I've never seen a picture of Rav Elchanan Wasserman smiling. He named his kid Simcha, so that tells you something. But I've never seen him actually smile.
It's a natural reaction.
You'd think for sure, but some people are able to overcome it. Supersede where they are.
It's like, it's not a bad thing. Like, we're programmed to do it. Yitzchak, Sarah laughed.
Yeah, but not in that way.
Well, it doesn't matter what way she laughed.
Laughed ha-ha instead of ho-ho, right? In other words, there is a point to the laughter, and laughing is good, but to an extreme where you're laughing on the floor rolling around, that becomes a problem.
Yeah, but
that's too much.
But if these guys aren't even smiling, I mean, that's what...
Yeah, that seems to be something. You don't have to be a very, very interesting person to do it. The Chafetz Chaim ever smile? Probably. You'd assume
those
so.
Those guys back then, they were cool.
You assume Rav Elchanan also smiled.
They were cool.
You'd assume that they smiled. You just assume. Rav Elchanan was very strong. No, he was very, very, very stark. You got to read what he writes. I mean, his stuff is like, it's out of like, it's seriously, it's like reading crazy. It's unbelievable stuff. Anyway, here's like this. There's a very, very interesting line. The nations of the world look at them and like, huh, wow. All right, that worked out. It's like, so to speak, do you know what President Obama did at his last thing in office, the last thing that he did? was only reported by Fox News. You know what he did?
He probably did a lot of things.
The last thing that he did.
Gave money to the Palestinian Authority?
Yeah. $242 million.
Yeah, but it's whatever.
I know, I understand. It's just crazy. What?
Trump canceled that.
He can't. Presidential order while he's still president. So he can't do it. But it went through. So the idea is that President Obama is going to turn back and he's going to realize, like, maybe I made a mistake with these people. Maybe it's the wrong thing. You don't think so?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Az yom ruvagayim higdol Hashem lasosim ela. You think even then he won't? You don't think it'll ever happen? Then he'll be dead.
Probably.
Then that'll be it. Then there's no way for him to stay alive for it. Because we say, Az yom ruvagayim higdol Hashem lasosim ela. Those are the people that are out there. Listen to this mashal. In a certain country, it was the minhag of the country that this prince would not become king. The son of the king would not become king. What would happen is, every time the king would die, the people would walk outside the city, and the first person they met became the king. It was sort of like their sorcery, right? That would be it. That would be the first person. So this time the king died, they went outside the city, the first person they saw was an unbelievably poor person, like a beggar in the middle of the street. They took the beggar, they brought him into the palace, they washed him up, they gave him a haircut, they changed his clothes. He woke up in the morning, and he found himself in really comfortable sheets and an unbelievably comfortable bed. He's never slept in a bed before. So he wakes up and he's like, I must be dreaming, right? But the next day, he overhears people talking. They say he was the first person they saw on the street. And he realized, oh, it's crazy. This really happened. And it's really going to last. That's what it's going to be like for us. It's going to seem like such a dream. And then all of a sudden, the nations are going to talk about us. They're going to be like, huh, I guess it is pretty good for them. They were the right nation. We're going to be like, ah, it was true. It's not just a dream. It's true. That's the idea behind it. Another thing is going to be, it's going to happen instantly. Instantly. Where everything's just going to happen right there in front of us. It's going to be there. And the laughter is going to be such a laughter. No sorrow at all. No thoughts about anything in the past. No thoughts about any issues in the future. It's going to be a genuine joy that we're going to like more than anything else. I remember this. Oh, and there's another one. In a city, there dwell two people, okay? One man's son grew up to be a rabbi. This guy's son became a rabbi who held the position, you know, in the city itself, and he delivered unbelievable divrei Torah and everything like that. His father and his mother, right, were proud. They gave him many gifts and everything like that, right? The people of the city all blessed their sons. You should be like that guy. You should be like that guy, right? Because that's the rabbi of the city. Second man had a son who was a criminal and was condemned to die. But the king revoked his sentence and he was able to live at home at peace and he was free to go without any problem whatsoever. He was miraculously spared. But nobody's saying to their kids, you should be like that guy. You should be like the guy who almost died and the king pardoned him. You don't think that way, right? We're going to be delivered and everybody's going to say, we want to be like that guy. That's the difference. It's not going to be like, oh man, well, he was barely spared. We're going to be like the king's son, the rabbi who is, you know, the son of that guy. Higdol Hashem lasosimanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has done great things with us. Hayinu Sameichem. And that's why we act with Simcha. There's a machlokas between the Malbim and the Gro, what the word Simcha means as opposed to the word Gila. The Malbim says that Simcha is long-lasting and Gila is temporary, while the Gro says that Simcha is short-lasting while Gila is permanent. It's a bit of a kasha. It seems from over here about Hayinu Sameichem and right what we say over here, to me, it seems that Smechem is long-lasting. This doesn't seem like a temporary Simcha. It seems like it's a major Simcha that lasts forever. I did not check up the Gro, what he says in this Pasuk, but it does seem to me that that's pretty clear, that that's referring to, that we're now going to have it forever and ever. Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu. Hashem will then return our returnees, Kafikim Banegev, like the brooks in the desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring back rivers in the desert, water throughout the entire desert, to make sure we have everything we need. Hazorim Bedima, those who sowed in tears, Berina Yiksoru, they're going to reap everything back in song and mirth. They're going to see that everything's going to work out well. They're going to bring everything back. Some say that it's a reference to people who learn Torah, that everything's going to come out well. Some say there's a reference that this will happen in the month of Nisan, because when do you reap the stuff, reap the barley, etc., that happens in Nisan. So our redemption will be in Nisan itself. That's the reference over here. There is a famous Gemara that refers to the people by the times of Yol, that when they planted the seeds in the ground, it immediately grew. You know what I'm referring to, right? It immediately grew, that as the animals went crying because they were starving, when they came back, there was already grass growing for them. Halok yelech uvacho, the animal goes and it cries, or we go crying, nosei meshech hazara, carrying a certain amount of seed. Yavobrina, but it'll come back in mirth, no sealumos, of carrying all of his sheaves with everything that you need over there. You see no chance, you see nothing in the future. What are we going to do with ourselves? What's going to be with us? We see a future for ourselves. That's the idea behind it, of what we're able to have. We're able to get something back from it. Awesome. Wow, we did more than I thought we were going to do. Well, let's see Kuf Chav Zayin. Kufchav Zayin. Now, obviously, that Shir HaMalos is a reference to our redemption and how we bring ourselves back, how good it's going to be. Shir HaMalos L'Shlomo. Now he's saying something for Shlomo Melech. Im Hashem lo yivna bayis. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Shav Amlu Bonav Bo. Then for naught were all the people who were building it, working and toiling in it. And Im Hashem lo yishmor ir, if Hashem is not involved in the guardian of the city, Shav Shakat Shomer. There is no watchman who is vigilant enough to be able to take care of it. Meaning, Shlomo Melech, you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Know that it is nothing to do with you. If Hashem wants it, it'll last. And if Hashem doesn't want it, it's not going to last. You have to remember that it's not you building it. It's going to have to be done together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that everything is being done in the best possible way. Perhaps there's a reference to marriage as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be involved in your marriage, that Ish V'Isha, when you put them both together, you have the Yud and the Hey of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that it's going to be there as well. Maybe that's a reference to over here when it comes to that. Some say the Shomer that we're referring to, or the guards are referring to, is not actually referring to a guard. First, tell me the Chamin, who are taking care of the city and being vigilant in the city itself. Shav lecha mashkimei kum. It's nothing for you, those who wake up early. Me'acharei shaves, those who stay up late. Ochlei lecha matzavim, who eat the bread of sorrows. Kenitin l'dino shena. He gives his beloved one sleep over here. Now that we're saying that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we say the house of royalty, the Beis Malchus that Shlomo Melech is going to build, right, is also dependent on everything that's going to happen over here. That he's saying, you have to invest in everything that you need. It's nothing. For those who get up early and go late and whatever it is, they're eating sadness, etc., HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give them the proper sleep, the proper ideas and everything that they need. You have to trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you everything that you need over here. Okay. Hinei, Nachal Hashem, Banim. What is the pure inheritance, the heritage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you? Children. Sachar, the real reward, is Pri Abatan, the fruit of the womb. That's the idea of what's going to happen. Everything is good when you get that. When you are Zocha to be able to have children, that's when you call it, the fruit of the womb is the actual reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you. You're able to get everything that you need over here. Kechitzim Yad Gibor, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, Cain Banana Urim. So too are the children of one's youth. That's what they're supposed to be over here. That the children, the sons, are to a father like you, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. It possesses, it allows you to possess greater strength. What are you going to say?
So, Hinei Nachal Hashem Banim. So, Banim, Rashi says, is Talmid Chachamim. And Sachar Pri Abatan is Torah.
So that makes sense, right? Once you have that Talmid Chachamim, you'll get the Torah, and then it becomes even stronger for you. You no longer have it. And remember what we said about the arrow before. You shoot an arrow, you can no longer take it back. So the idea is that, unfortunately, if you did not work in Torah learning when you're younger, when you're, you know, able to do so, you won't be able to do it when you're older. The people that say, don't worry, when I get older, that's when I'm going to take care of it. That's when I'll do all this and I'll do this. It's never going to happen. If you don't get yourself used to it right now, challenging yourself right now, there's no way to be able to get it. You need to do it while you're still bunim, while you're still children. Ashrei Gever Shemilesh Aspasol Mehem. Happy is a person who fills his quiver full of these arrows, getting himself ready. Lo yevoshu, he'll never be embarrassed. He'll never be put to shame. Ki yedabro zoyvim bashar. He'll speak with his enemies at the gate, and he'll be the one who'll stand firm without any problems whatsoever. This obviously is a reference to learning Torah. If you fill your quiver filled with the arrows of Torah while you still can, then things are only going to go well. And now we got one. Well, and that's a reference to the greatness of Torah and what it means to take on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be talking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to learn Torah as well. Now, Shir HaMalos in Chup Chup Ches. Shir HaMalos, Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem. Happy are all those who fear Hashem. HaHolech Bidrachav. Those who go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Walking in the ways means keeping the mitzvos of Hashem, doing the mitzvos asay that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, staying away, obviously, from the mitzvos lo saseh, constantly improving upon yourself, doing midos, having certain midos that allow you to go in the right way over there. That's the idea behind it. And also, by the way, it says it's not Ashrei Kohanim, Ashrei Levim or Yisraelim. Kol Yirei Hashem. Anyone who fears Hashem, really? It could be awesome woman. It's a possibility. Could be referring to non-Jews in a way. If a person goes in the right way, maybe not woman, maybe you're right. Maybe that's a bit much. Right? But anybody could be out there. Yegia kapecha kisoichel. When you eat the fruit of your own labor of your own hands, Ashrach v'tovla. Happy are you and good are you. You feel like you actually worked hard. It's one thing to be able to learn something straight out in English and to be able to get it so easily because you have it, right? It's yet another thing to work hard and to be able to make it happen and to work on yourself to bring it out there. That's something that has always been there. I've been very, 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 very careful throughout my time that I've never looked up an art scroll when trying to figure out a Gemara. If I can't figure out the Gemara, okay, I can't figure out the Gemara. You know what? I'll work harder next time to be able to figure it out. But I don't want it to be easy for me. I don't want it to be where I'll look up something. Of course, sometimes you use a Jastro, and it makes it easy because he quotes that exact word for you. But you knew, right? You work hard, right? Ashrecha v'tovlach. Happy are you that you have that labor in your hands, and you'll be able to get it not only in this world, but in the next world as well. Tovlach is a reference to Olam Haba as well. When you're able to do stuff like that, you're able to get it all over here. Marzutra said in the name of Rabbi Chanina based on this pasuk. Anyone who reads, meaning the Torah Shebachsav, studies Torah Shebalpeh, and his own determines what is fit and unfit to eat, and is given over to other Torah scholars, that's what we say, Ashrecha v'tovlach. That a person gets not only this world, but also the next world as well.
Well, that's dangerous, isn't it? Like when you're poskening for yourself, so to speak?
No, what it means is you have the ability to posken. Obviously, you have a Rebbe, you go to your Rebbe to make sure you're right. But yes, when you have the ability to posken, Ashrecha v'tovlach. That's what it means. Eshtecha ki gethem poriah. Your wife, right, will be like a fruitful vine. Biyarke se besecha, everywhere throughout your house. Banechak shili zesim, your children will be like the olive shoots. Saviv l'sholchanacha, surrounding your house. You'll be able to say tremendous things that go throughout everywhere. This is a nice pasuk to say when a person passes away, you know, satiated with many kids, his wife, etc. When he passed away at an old age, filled with children, grandchildren, etc. Sounds like a good word to be able to say. That it's, so to speak, you were superior. You were able to have all this excellence surrounding you at all times. You were able to have all the virtues that a person should have. Everything was able to come together. Now maybe your children or something, like everything is good, and they're all growing. Olives and grapes grow. You're able to keep growing like a fruitful vine. Maybe that's what it means, a tremendous, tremendous thing. If you see a grapevine in a dream, by the way, your wife will not miscarry. That's a very, very good thing. Hini kein yivorach gever yirei Hashem. This is so. For a man is blessed when he fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever you have something, that obviously is the greatest bracha that you have, to see all the good things that are around you when it comes to stuff like that. Is there anything else over here? Because I wasn't able to look at it before. Ah, Rabbi Yossi says, when a woman dresses modestly inside the house, she is worthy of having a kohen gadol that comes for her. There was a famous woman named Kimchis who was able to be zocha to see 7 of her children act as kohanim gedolim. It's not because they all died.
Right.
Something happened.
Yeah,
they were able to go through. But that's the idea behind it. I remember when I first got married, I was like, oh, Kimchis, you should do that. My wife's like, not Kimchis. It was a tremendous, tremendous mila, but that's there. What else? Oh, here we go. Another mashal. A non-Jewish king married a woman with whom he lived for 10 years, but she failed to bear him a child. Eventually, however, she did bear a son, and the king rejoiced. When the son grew older and passed his 13th birthday, he was stricken by a terrible life-threatening illness. All the greatest doctors were unable to find a healing medication to save the prince. Many days passed. The news spread that a great doctor was about to arrive. As soon as he came, the king invited him to the palace to cure his son. The doctor entered the patient's chamber and diagnosed the illness at once. He then promised the king to cure his son, but on the condition he permitted to seclude himself with the patient without anyone else present. The king ordered everyone out. However, the mother of the patient stayed. Turning to her, the doctor said, "The sick son of yours is not from the king, for the king is incapable of having children. He is from another man. Who made you pregnant?"
Uh-oh.
That's what the doctor said. The mother admitted the truth and revealed she had been made pregnant by one of the king's horse trainers. The doctor then came to the king and said, "I know what will cure your son. He needs special grasses that sprout in the wilderness. Send for the servant in charge of the horses to come with me to the wilderness to gather these grasses." The king sent for the horse trainer, and together they left the city. The physician said to the companion, "I recognize the illness of the king's son, who in fact is not the king's son, but your son." This is the doctor together with the horse trainer. "Tell me who your parents are and how you were raised. I will then know the appropriate foods for the lad. For his conception and makeup were in accordance with the foods that you had eaten, not in accordance with what he's been accustomed to eat in the palace." And that means, since he was not used, I guess, from his, you know, his DNA, was structure, was not a kingly structure. For him to eat all these kingly foods now has made him sick. I need to know what you've had, and that'll be able to heal him.
Me,
she said, "My mother and my father were land farmers," said the trainer. "Their work was plowing and sowing, and their food consisted of milk mixed with browned wheat, known as tarana and bulgur. We never used to eat chicken, meat, or fish. I never had it, right? We're never accustomed to eat, right? Straight from the farm, I entered the king's service as keeper of the horse stable. Once when the king was absent, his wife approached me, and that son is from me. The doctor returned to the king, informed that the foods his son were eating were harmful, and said he's got to eat Tarana Bulgari. He's got to have a strictly healthy diet from
gluten-free.
Now on. That's it. It's a gluten-free diet. The king followed his instructions. The lad recovered. This tale can tell us, can teach us, that only about, that's why he said it was a Gentile king, by the way. I was wondering why it was a non-Jewish king. This tale can tell us that only when your wife modestly keeps to the innermost parts of your house will your children be able to keep growing. Otherwise, you'll never know what is the right thing to be able to do for your kids because they're not your kids. Chas v'shalom. Right? That's the idea behind it. That is a crazy life. What an unbelievable mashal. Yivrecha shami tzion. May God bless you out of Tzion. Urei b'tuv Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha. May you see the goodness of Yerushalayim all the days of your life. And this is a reference to not only just growing with your children, growing from one place to the other. You should have not only the good in this world, but in the good in the next world as well. In Ashkenaz, in Germany, France, there lived a rabbi who was known for his chassidus, whose blessings all came true. As a result, the people of the city would exhaust him with their brachos and, you know, ask him for more and more and more. For no sooner did one leave than another came to ask for a bracha. So he said, we've got to get out of here. He said to his talmidim, I can't learn. I can't do anything. Everybody comes in to ask me for brachos. I can't deal with this anymore. When toward evening they began to leave, they saw a bride walking to the chuppah. The rabbi halted in honor of the bride. When the wise bride caught sight of him, she approached and asked for a bracha that she bear 12 sons, corresponding to the 12 shvatim. This man blessed her. She then asked that he bless her with a good livelihood, and he gave her that bracha as well. Then the bride turned back and entered under her chuppah. Her chassan saw that she was happy, and she told him that not only had she brought a blessing for children, but also, well, only sons, and that's important, right? Mm-hmm. But also a bracha for wealth and honor. Everything was fulfilled. And the pshat is that if a kala asks for a bracha at the right time, she can get a bracha that nobody else can get. That's what you can get from over here. That's the idea of what you can possibly get. And you'll get all of these extra brachos, I guess, that go all the way through. Then it says, Urevanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael. Urevanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael. Then you will see children upon your own children and peace upon all of Israel if it's done in the best way. And that's the famous bracha that we say, right? Where we say, Ilan, Ilan, bamo avarechecha. How can I bless you, he said to the tree, right? Shiyu perosechen et misukin, that your fruit should be sweet. It's already sweet, right? Sheit silchanad, you should have good shade. You already have good shade. You should have a brook going beneath you. You already have a brook going beneath you. Ela yiratza, may it be God's will that this not only applies to you, but it should apply for your children and your children's children forever and all time, that your children should have the same brachos that you have as brachos. That was the bracha they ended up giving to the tree, right, which applies to us as well. It's Reb Nachman. Reb Yitzchak told Reb Nachman as well that you should be blessed, that your children continue the riches that you have as well. All right, we'll stop with that, guys. We're up to Kuf Chaf Tes.